In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Today's gospel begins, Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, which means he left where he had been, the area around the Sea of Galilee, and went some miles north and west into pagan territory around what's now present-day Lebanon. This gives us the clue that what we're going to hear about is going to have something to do with the relationship between Judaism and paganism, between Jews and Gentiles. Unlike some other travel directions in the Gospels, this is pretty straightforward. There are a few times when the 12 go someplace by way of some other place that if you actually picked up the map and looked at it, it's like saying you went to New York by way of Oregon. But not today. A Gentile woman approaches Jesus and asks him to do something about her daughter, who's possessed. Her approach sets up all sorts of cleanliness issues. Jesus doesn't know her, and she's pagan. If he talks to her, he will make himself unclean under Hebrew law. So Jesus, being, of course, a good Jew, tries to ignore her. And his disciples ask him to make her go away. And he seems to agree then as he says, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That is to say, I'm here to try to save the Jews. I have no reason to deal with Gentiles, even if they are smart enough to address me as the Messiah and call me son of David. The Canaanite woman is not put off. Canaanite's what we called her in King James Version. In most of the modern translations, she's called Syrophoenician, because that's so much easier to say. Well, she throws herself at Jesus' feet and says, Lord, help me. Probably the simplest prayer, probably the word most common said by all of us. And he replies, again, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And that means it's not proper to take what belongs to Jews and give it to the Gentiles. And this sounds so harsh to us and unlike everything that we know about Jesus. But it's a shame that we can't see his face as he says this. I often say that I suspect he was in the habit of tossing off lines like this with maybe a wink or a smile. Because don't forget, he knows everything about this woman. It was probably to meet her in the first place that he came into pagan territory. So she still persists and tells him that may be true, but even dogs get to eat the scraps that fall off the dinner table. We're going to allude to that prayer later on in the Mass. Jesus concedes. She wins the argument. He says, you have a lot of faith. You can have what you want. The Canaanite woman got what she asked for. Her daughter was healed. So that's what the story says. But of course, the next question is, how does what it says apply to me? Well, first of all, the story tells us that Jesus came to earth to save everybody. He went first to the Jews, his own people, but he helped non-Jews as well. And after he went back to heaven, the main work of his church, especially the work of St. Paul, was to make what started out as good news for the Jews into good news for non-Jews also. Almost all of us are ethnically Gentile, not Jewish. One of the parishes we attended before I ever went off to seminary, the curate, the assistant, was a man who had been raised Jewish and, talking about that travel circuit, came into Anglicanism by way of Buddhism. Kind of a bizarre trip. And he, in a Bible study about Genesis, once said that all of you people need to remember that this is written about my people. Your ancestors were busy painting themselves blue and worshiping trees. Probably true. But Jesus, the Hebrew Messiah, came to save us too. So as mired in our sins as we are, Jesus thinks we're salvageable. That's good news. Secondly, the story tells us about prayer. The prayer of humble access, I know, is familiar to you all. It's a nice piece of theological poetry. It speaks about prayer and even more about how we interact with all things divine, especially the sacrament of Holy Communion. You know how it goes. You're going to say it in a little while. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, which should sound familiar, right? But thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. We pray this together as a necessary and critical part of our preparation and our approach to the sacrament of the altar. And this prayer, of course, echoes the gospel for today, the story of the Canaanite woman who approaches Jesus so resolutely but humbly. Well, these are two words which stand here in a sort of complementary relationship, complementary with an E, not with an I, right? They are the words humble and access. Humility is the condition of our access to God. What the prayer expresses is a fundamental attitude of faith. It's not our presumption, our trusting in our own righteousness, but our humility, our trusting in the manifold and great mercies of God that is altogether crucial. Against all that's thrown at her, this woman has a hold of this one thing, the mercies of God in Jesus Christ. To have hold of that is humility. She presumes on nothing else, and it's this, her humility, that gains her access to the heart of Christ. Humility gains access. Humility is not the same thing as low self-esteem. It is not the whine of, I can't do that, which really means you don't want to try. It's not the whine of the poor me's, which is really groveling for attention. In other words, it's self-centered pride. Humility is not even the irritatingly ironic pride of Uriah Heep, a groveling self-pity, because those things are really our presumption. We demand all the attention as if we were the center of everything. Well, I have news for you. We're not. Humility is the recognition that Jesus is the center and that we can have access to him on his conditions, not ours. She came and knelt before him saying, Lord, help me. Now, there's an encounter and an engagement with Jesus. This dialogue is quite intense. It's almost frighteningly intense. But her kneeling down is not manipulation. She's not groveling. Can't even read my own notes. Groveling. Self-abasement. It's instead the attitude and posture of faith. That's why our churches have kneelers. Because it says, in effect, that God is God and we are not. This is humility. It's the condition of our access to God. This woman does not presume to be the center of attention, although I can guarantee you she probably was at this point. For all of her persistence, what is constant is her focus on Jesus. He has her undivided attention. She sees in him the mercies of God which she's seeking. Lord, help me. It's not a plaintive cry, it's the prayer of faith. The strong sense of the mercy of God is the counter to our almost native self-presumption and self-preoccupation. She seeks a healing mercy from Jesus, not for herself, but for her daughter. A mother's love is a strong and compelling motive. The sickness of a child or some other crisis in our lives will often bring us to our knees. We find ourselves rendered helpless. We have no power of ourselves to help ourselves, the collect prays. It would be foolish to deny this. But the point of this gospel is really not that we should wait for some emergency to bring us to our knees before God. The point of the gospel is expressed in that prayer of humble access. Lord, help me is a constant prayer, a daily prayer. It belongs to the constantly recurring theme of all truly Christian liturgy. Lord, have mercy upon us. It belongs, in other words, to the maturity of our faith, the faith that holds on to the mercy of God and will not let go. Humility ever looks to Christ. It's our openness to Him as the center of our lives. It's the condition of our access to Him. When we are presumptuous, we are full of ourselves, and there's no room for God. No room. Is Christmas so long ago that we don't see the relationship there? We presume to be the center, which we are not. Humility opens us out to the mercies of God in Jesus Christ. When we pray the Stations of the Cross, we begin each station with, O Savior of the world, who by thy cross and precious blood hast redeemed us, save us and help us, we humbly beseech thee, O Lord. The humility of Christ is the hope of our exaltation. He lifts us up. Humility is not only the condition of our access to God, it's also our exaltation. For in our humility, our wills are one with God's will. We are open to what He wants for us. How did He respond? O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. Now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory now and forever, world without end.